Hey, Podfathers listeners, you can find us every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Podfathers, the best parenting podcast in the universe. It's your pal Clem here. It's the big man out in dirty Jersey. Joey Langone has dropped from the call, you know, mysteriously. Hope you're all right, Joe, you son of a bitch, wherever you are. Chapsy is now with us today. He's handling some business. It was a nice run for Chaps. We probably won't ever see him again. But no, seriously, it's just me and the big man today. We have a big episode planned here. It's a very fun one. Me and the big man diving into Captain Khan's wedding menu, I guess you consider it, because we're dealing from everything from the cocktail hour all the way through to the desserts. I had an absolute blast doing that with El Capitan.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough that I know Khan's and his fiance very well. And Alex is the type of girl who would truly say, you know what? I don't care about the menu. Let those guys decide it. So Khan's was nice enough to come on.
And you'll be at the wedding too, so you'll know if he actually follows through with our menu. And again, I think everyone who's planning a wedding or you know, just enjoys talking food or talking wedding stuff will enjoy just the banter we have and some healthy three idiots talking about nonsensical stuff nonstop. If he doesn't choose the foods we chose, he is being rebuked live on this podcast. He will be rebuked in real life. I don't know if you actually have to do you have to slap someone in the face if you rebuke him in real life? Because yeah, I will slap him in the face.
I'll slap him at his wedding. I think for people who tuned in last time for the first time to Podfathers and were privy to the Chaps's conversations with myself and Dan about his child, you know, there are a couple people who are like, oh, I think I'm a podfather now. So I'll explain what's going on for those people. Chaps is doing a bunch of stuff. You know, he's just taking care of a bunch of stuff. Just this week, he'd taken some time off to deal with what was going on with Cardi, and he's back full time. But with the passing of his dad and whatnot, Chaps got a lot on his plate. We love to bust the shit out of his balls. There's nothing I like better than making fun of Chaps. It's almost like it's become an art form now because it's so goddamn easy. But he is trying to get a lot of shit on his plate. So off his plate. So I know Clem and I, as we're doing this, and obviously it's nice that we got the segment with Khan's today. We had spoke about it beforehand. And so we're left on the side without any transgender children, perhaps non-binary children, excuse me, right? But what Clem and I are going to be doing going forward with Chaps, as far as he's going through this process, is that we're going to be as patient as possible and as respectful as possible, you know, even if it's just simply using the right pronouns and whatnot. So for people who just tuned in last week for that, know that this probably won't be a podcast that surrounds, you know, the issues of transgender children as much as just plain old, hey, listen, the baby just shit all over my car. That tends to be more of the milieu that we run in, always have, always will. But there will be a definitive effort on both mine and Clem's part to be more educated and more tolerant of what Chaps is doing for the benefit of the young and vivacious Cardi B. That's fair to say?
Very fair to say, and very well said by you, Large. Large is the most eloquent one on the podcast, which isn't saying much, but nonetheless, when we started the Podfathers, we started this probably about 5 years ago now, and it was KFC's brainchild, and he had always said when he remembered when, you know, his first child was, you know, about to be born, he was reading the books, probably reading them last minute like we all do. No wonder you get the books when you get the positive pregnancy test, right? First thing everyone dad does is they, you know, they either buy the book or they get the book handed to them. And then no one reads it until, you know, the third trimester is about to be like, oh shit, I need to learn how to become a dad. And it would be the same corny jokes and same blanket advice and stuff like that, that never truly resonated or hit with a lot of the people that, you know, kind of tuning the bar school for what we are. It's very real. It's relatable and it's, you know, have some fun with it. And I think, you know, we've kind of touched on a lot of the things, again, from the time you find out your significant other is going to have the baby all the way to the time you get home. And then everything that happens afterwards. We have kids that kind of hit a bunch of different age groups, right? They have a bunch of different interests, they have different personalities. And this is just another thing that we're learning about as we go through this all on the podcast. And it's kind of like, it's all in real time too. So Large on the last episode, which I obviously listened to, he's figuring out to get his pronouns right. And there's gonna be times where we're gonna screw up, and it's all a process, but we're all in it together. And obviously support Chaps, Cardi, the whole family and everything down there in Texas and everyone else across the world here. So we're gonna get better. We're gonna learn, we're gonna get through this. And you know, it's a very important topic that is something, you know, I never dealt with growing up, you never heard about. But I think, as you know, the internet kind of your eyes open to the world and different things going on, different people, kind of learn a lot more about that. So the Podfathers will definitely have all that included as well. And I think it's going to open up kind of that side, you know, a whole bunch of different ways, different topics we might talk about. The mailbag might get different kind of things. And there's things we're going to know, there's things we're not going to know, not even in terms of, you know, binary and gender and all that stuff.
Chaps too.
Yeah, Chaps too, 100%.
I think it's an important addendum to last week's show. First of all, if you just watched Podfather starting last week, at the end of last episode, you saw me, a blubbering idiot, talking about my kid, which I've never done. I mean, yep. I've gotten into laugh fits where I've cried because I laugh so hard. I love to do that. But so you had me being a blubbering idiot, which you won't see again.
You will see. I'm going to be tweeting that picture at you a whole bunch. I promise you that. But,
yeah. And then you saw us have like, a serious conversation about, you know, transgender, non-binary, you know, issues, right? And then we'll go back to like fart jokes and stuff. But at the end of our last conversation with Chaps, I said to him, you know what? I just never had a horse in this race. I didn't give a shit about it. He's like, I didn't give a shit about it until a year and a half ago. Yep. Like, he was never ducks in a row. And so, you know, no one else is expected to be. So, and everyone was very, very patient with the amount of times that I screwed up. Dan, you know, had said something a little bit more, you know, in support of Chaps. So he had never mentioned Cardi as much. So therefore didn't say she or her, as opposed to they, them, like that kind of stuff. But I certainly did. I certainly screwed it up a bunch, but I didn't get killed for it because they know it's a growth process. So we'll get better at it. So no more crying and all good pronouns from here on out. And another thing to keep in mind for this week is, with all this shit that's going down in Afghanistan, I am having a tough time reading anything that doesn't have a political bent to it, as maybe it should, because obviously politics are involved with everything. But today I'm going to make it my business to sit down and listen to Zero Block 30 to see what Chaps, Kate, and Cons have to say about it, for boots on the ground type stuff, which they were literally boots on the ground throughout our occupation over there. So that's another thing that I think is first and foremost in those three people. We have Cons on today.
Yep.
Talk about wedding food, people are coming into Kabul and taking over the military gym, you know, which was very, very funny to watch, poignantly funny to watch, I guess. So that's that. So I recommend you guys tune into Zero Blog also if you want to catch up from maybe a little bit less of a biased perspective. There is some bias between the three of those guys, obviously, but maybe a little bit less of a biased perspective that you would get if you just went to social media.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, it's crazy that this is all happening right before the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And obviously, your family has a big connection to 9/11 as well. And, you know, I live in the Northeast, and you kind of, you know, there was different, you know, we all experienced that as a country and just kind of where we've gone. So, yeah, there's a lot of heavy stuff. And, you know, Barstool, I think, does as good a job as you could do kind of dealing with the heavy stuff and doing it in a way that hopefully does not, you know, go one way or another, but, you know, it's just a conversation. And again, the mailbag is always open for the pod, and we try to address everything we get to, even stuff we don't know. There was someone had actually wrote in a couple years, maybe about a year ago, a question about twins and, you know, just certain things to prepare for. And it was tough because none of us have had twins. Right. And I actually had Welker. Yeah, exactly. And we had Welker, who is our merch guy, has a set of twins. It was his first kids that he's ever had, and I wanted to have him on the pod. And he wasn't sure if Dave was going to allow him on podcasts and be in content and stuff like that. But there is there is a lot of things that people can write into us about, and if we can answer them, or at least get someone who could do a better job of answering the questions than we can, if you write to the mailbag, it's podfathershow@gmail.com. Podfather Show on Instagram or Twitter. Those are socially a DM. That's our guy, Joey Langone, the guy, the louse who has decided to leave this meeting just as we were about to start the podcast. Or if you go to barstoolsports.com/askdad, there's a form that you can fill out. You know, you could just all anonymous if you want it to be. And you just kind of say, hey guys, quick question here about whatever it may be. Some things you maybe not want to ask your friends, or just stuff that you want to ask someone who actually has kids and is going through the day-to-day rigors of it all. And for the record, I say in a couple of minutes in this interview with Cons, I say Cons is our favorite member of Zero Block 30, our favorite male member. That still holds true. Chaps does not move up my rankings at all. Kate is still the queen of Zero Block 30. She's still number one in my book, but we got to have Kate on 100% because every single time I see her dealing with the joys of being a new parent. She said she was in her chair for, I think, 2 hours straight because the baby had finally fallen asleep and she didn't want to wake him up. I was like, yep, been there, done that, girl. Except I didn't have, you know, the little man chewing on my nipple for a half hour before then and doing whatever kind of stuff to my hormones. So we got to have Kate back on. But like Large said, this is that was a big moment for the show. And I think a big moment for Chaps and his family. And we're going to do whatever we can to try to just get, you know, figure out as everything goes, as the world keeps on turning, without doing too poorly of a job and offending anyone along the way. We're going to do our best to edit Large. He's always the guy we have to edit. You always have the red flag next to your name. I know Bren is breaks into cold sweats when I send him the podcast every so often. So
I got a blog kickback this week, Clem.
And what was it about?
I'm going to tell you about it, but first I'm going to tell you that one of the things that's getting me through everything is still 3-Chi. We can go into that now.
Yeah, we can go into that. Yeah, we can go into
Delta
that.
Delta 8 products at 3-Chi. I had some guy call me up and said, Large, listen, I wound up ordering the gummies and I wasn't a fan. He's like, I'm a big weed smoker. I wound up ordering the gummies. I wasn't a fan, but I trusted you so much that I thought it was just, maybe I'm just not good with the gummies. So I went, I ordered the vape pens and I'm telling you, they're 100% the best thing ever. He's like, it's taken over weed for me. Thank you so much. So I hate to tell people some things work and some things don't, but it's a great product. The delivery system may, you know, vary. Gummies happen to work for me. Another guy just said that they ordered the Skittles. They sell them almost like a Skittle thing. So you can pop like three and it's not a full gummy. Like, you know what I mean? You have a little bit of control over it as opposed to biting a gummy in half. I just did a gummy when I was on a water with a Stu Finer in the Great South Bay for something with like Boomer and Carton or whatever the hell it is. And it's the only thing that got me through that. So 3-Chi is, they make this Delta 8 products that's like CBD on steroids. It's not quite THC, but it's got a psychoactive component. So you got to use it responsibly and you got to be 21 years or older to purchase. But it's one of those things, gummies, vapes, oils, tinctures, edibles, these new little, I don't even know what the hell they call these Skittles, but you see them on the website. But I just do the watermelon gummies. I'm a huge fan of them. Huge. So if you guys just need, some guys do a half of a gummy or something or a little pull off the pen every night to go to sleep, whatever gets you through it. I really think it lessens my anxiety and my paranoia. So that's why I'm such a big fan and I'm proud to promote it. So you go to 3chi.com and you get a whole list of things that these guys offer. And you only use the code, it's PODS, right? PODS?
Yep. It's 5%.
PODS. PODS, and you're going to get 5% off your order. So go there now, give it a whirl. Somebody asked me if he lived in someplace very hot, if they should do the cold delivery. I didn't even know if that was an option, but I don't think I've had them delivered in heat waves. So perhaps the gummies do get melted. I can't speak intelligently to that. But, you know, I've never had a problem with it.
I will say, I think my gummies, mine were delivered in a really bad heat wave and they did kind of melt together one time. So if you live in a place that is always like that, it might not be the worst idea because the gummies, if they melt together, just kind of break them apart. I was fine with it. But, you know, if that's an option, might want to check it out. And like you said, pick your poison, right? You could go with the vapes, the gummies, the edibles, whatever it may be, the tinctures, which again, if I ever reach like the alchemist stage where I'm going with the tinctures, that means I made it in the 3-2 world. And again, must be 21 to purchase. It is psychoactive. It's not the CBD. You will be getting a buzz from it, and makes us feel nice, warm, and good inside. Makes us feel like the marshmallow of a s'more. That's the best way I can use to describe it.
Damn right, Cloud.
I want some s'mores now. Maybe it's because I just took a 3-2, but I'm in the mood for some s'mores.
Let's talk about this from the perspective of a parent. Some young guy in his 20s was in Ohio. He was driving with a couple in him. He was inebriated. He had a passenger in the truck with him. He was in a pickup truck. Gets to a light rail crossing, CATS, Cincinnati Area Transit System. Their light rail. Thinks he can make it even though the bar is down and the lights are on, and he did. The light rail barreled into his pickup truck and it killed him. The person in the passenger seat had some injuries, had to go to the hospital, but that guy was killed instantly. That guy's brothers, less than a week later, go to the spot where their brother was wiped out in the railroad tracks because there's a small memorial place there, some flowers and whatnot, and they start having some drinks in his honor. It's 5:30 in the morning, and they don't get off the tracks as the train is coming. Those two brothers get wiped out. So now this one mom, this one parent, right? This one godmother loses three kids in less than a week in Ohio, which is an absolute heartbreak. But there is a certain degree of Darwinism involved there, right? Like the survival of the fittest or whatever, because I automatically thought of Private Ryan and poor Mrs. Ryan, wherever she was, seemed like it was somewhere in middle America, reading those three letters about the guys who valiantly fought and died in France. So they have to go and, you know, save the fourth one. But this mom has absolutely no recourse because it's just three kids that, you know, had a taste for the drink, but didn't have a great grasp on just how powerful trains were. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like there was a degree of heroism involved there. And so I wrote about it. It got kicked back. What are your feelings on that? As a dad, and God forbid this would happen to any one of us, that's a flat out tragedy. But is it? You know what I mean? Like, that was my question.
Yeah, the Iron Horse has been around for a very long time. The Iron Horse, the beauty of trains is they stay on the track, so you do not have to worry about them going anywhere else, you know, off the tracks for the most part, right? So that's tough. If, like, I don't know if these guys, if they just happen to be on the tracks or if they wanted it to hit them. If you're the mom, I think you got to take down that train. I think if you're a mom, you should be allowed to blow up that train. Whatever the, so I'm sure our boy Riggs lives in Cincinnati. So does the aforementioned Welks. Big episode for Welker right now. Jeez, moving up in the world. I think you should be allowed to blow that train up. That takes away three of your kids.
Empty. Blow it up empty.
Blow it up empty, of course.
You think about the long-term effects on that. Like, you think about the conductors. It wasn't the same conductor that was involved with both tragedies, but that affects them. I mean, I spoke to Ray Mancini, Boom Boom Mancini, the boxer, a couple of weeks ago. When he killed Dooku Kim in the ring, people kind of remember that. Dooku Kim was a Korean boxer, and Ray Mancini killed him in the ring. It's one of the reasons why championship fights have gone down from 15 rounds to 12. 15 rounds was just torture. Ray essentially beat him to death. He died outside of the ring afterwards, complications. But, you know, so on top of beating that guy to death, the referee who let the fight go on felt so much guilt that he killed himself. And then Dooku Kim's mom killed herself due to the grief of losing her son. So it's like Ray Mancini walked away with like almost three bodies on his conscience and stuff. Like, you never think about that. You think about the conductor who, you know, mows these guys down, because there are no real breaks. These things don't stop on a dime at 5:30 in the morning at Cincinnati because two, you know, brothers are drunk on the tracks. You just don't see this shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop on a dime that you can even get out of the way of a fucking pickup. And I think we've all done it. We've all cheated around the gates, but we've looked both ways to see, you know, if these things are far away, you know? And so I don't know. It's just an interesting story. I blogged about it, but didn't quite make it because I thought it maybe crossed that Francis threshold.
Yeah.
Talking about dead people. But I thought from a parenting perspective, it's a tragedy, but I don't know how I would tell people.
It's one thing, like, if there's, yeah, like if a murderer murders, you know, your kids or whatever, that's tough. But like, it's like an object, right? A train. It's a fucking, it's the same thing in different times. It's not one that's, yeah, it's one for the record books. And like, even then, and this, I'm not trying to be funny, like, if this woman was wanted to blow it up, but like you can't have her near the spot of explosion, because if the train then takes her out as it, like, you need to have her press a button or like just like give the thumbs up, or I guess it would be like the thumbs down, like the Gladiator movie Commodus, right, when he gives the thumb and then they hit the button and she's right. You know, a town away, because you don't want anything to happen. But it just, that's like fucking Final Destination shit. That's out of a horror movie right there. So yeah, that's yeah. And like you said, when you write it in words, I think we've said this in the past after the Francis stuff. I think Dave said this on his podcast. It's hard. It's getting only harder to blog stuff now, because the print medium, it just sits in words and there's no inflection to your voice and stuff like that. And it's a goddamn tragedy, but it's something that you can't really – people can take it any way they want. And they could just use whatever they want to dunk on Barstool or whatever. But, yeah, it – that's a tough one in terms of a blog thing, but it is one of those moments that as a fucking parent, you couldn't even imagine. So
I say they didn't not only kick it back, they deleted it.
So they deleted it altogether.
Else. They're on to me.
They put that shit in the containment union, like in Ghostbusters, and send it to a place where it'll never see the light of day again, which I think there's plenty of other large blogs that probably live in there. Fucking leave it to the Twisted History guy to just take a nice show about parenting, a couple first-time listeners here. They're like, oh, let's see what the show's all about. And then we're talking about a goddamn train taking out a family, like a generation. Like, you could take away a bloodline, right? Because, you know, three boys, you know, that's the name right there, and it's just gone. So, yeah, you never know what you're going to get with the Podfather. You usually keep it a little lighter, but that's what happens. We don't have chaps around to kind of get a little goofy on us. So, you know what we'll do? We'll throw it to the Khan's wedding menu now. And again, if that son of a bitch doesn't choose this menu, when it's all said and done, it's a live rebuke. Khan's, if you're listening, live rebuke. You mean I rebuke you in the name of the Lord, and I get to slap you in the face.
Right.
In the name of the Lord. Should it be backhand or front hand? Which one hurts more?
Oh, I think it should be an official mollywop where you lick the back of the hand and then hit him, right?
Yes, and I get to wear a ring of my choice, because I'm not a big ring guy other than my wedding ring.
I am. Right? And I got the ring. Hold on a second. I think I probably have a couple here.
Your computer desk has a cavalry of weapons and jewelry.
I will go with the lion, and then I'll go lion and Rey Mysterio, because these two bad boys are going to pack it. Right? There's a little Rey Mysterio and there's a lion. So that's like, I can feel the extra weight on my hand. It's getting pendulous. So that's what Khan's has to look forward to. And I'll try to dig up a couple for you.
I'd like to actually custom order a ring where it goes across like four fingers, like they did back in the 80s, and it says bitch. It's a big gold fucking ring that says bitch, and I backslap him, and then people will see it on its face. It'll be a bruised bitch. So, Khan's, if you do not use this wedding menu, you'll be rebuked, and it's a live rebuke, which comes with a licking of the hand, Molly Walk backslap. I love this is where we've gotten to on the show. So, we'll send it now to we had Khan's in the office, and we had I had an absolute blast doing this. It felt like a radio segment almost, right? This is something you fucking crazy people on Breakfast would have done once upon a time, and just kind of talking through a nice fancy menu and trying to break down the pros and cons of the I know the pasta bar was a big point of contention between you and I, the lamb you and your lamb lollipops, your lamb chop lollipops. You'd love to have those things, the tomahawks, yeah, the baby lambs. So we'll send it to there now, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, as promised, we have a very special guest. Our favorite male member of Zero Block 30 is joining the podcast now.
By far.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Actually, we are taping this a couple weeks ahead of time, so we don't know if Chaps will have ditched the show again by this point, so this might just kind of be, you know, we have to figure out how it's all going to
work. Shots fired, and we all know he doesn't do well with getting shot at.
Oh.
You can say that. We're not allowed to,
I believe. I can say that. Based on our experiences in life.
Just so you can relate to what happened to us, he went AWOL a little while.
That's right. That beautiful voice is Captain Khan's, my partner in No Quitters Crime whenever we're allowed to broadcast a show. And Khan's is not having a child, at least not yet.
Not yet. So this is kind of interesting that I'm on the Podfathers, but
he is doing the thing that will allow him to have a child respectfully in God's eyes.
Respectfully and legally and when I want to.
Yes, exactly. Khan's getting married. Big wedding day coming up, and we are going to talk through the menu. He looked at the two big men here and said, these guys, no food, and we're going to help choose Khan's menu. Because it's the Podfathers is kind of the adult podcast here at Barstool, just because I guess everyone else is the children's podcast, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And wedding's a big thing, and that's kind of one
the
of our
corners.
The anus
guys were busy.
Yeah. Sorry. Right? The anus guys were busy. Chicks in the office, they couldn't squeeze me in.
Right.
Yak had no business talking about this, so I figured, you know what, I'll go with the Podfathers.
So we got a list of a whole bunch of fun little foods here, and we're gonna pick out Khan's menu here, and this is going to go live at the venue we will not mention, because we don't want anyone knowing it. We don't want anybody crashing it. The Khan's wedding will be the hottest event of to be announced after it's done.
It's in 22, so it's not this year. It's at a very nice place. So we have the selections in front of us, and it's vast.
Mm.
But what is good about Khan's is right away, he's like, don't look at the buffet options. I love that. Right? So now we're not dealing with Clem. We're dealing with Khan. No, I'm just saying Clem. So right away, I had said, can we do hors d'oeuvres with you? He said, sure, pick the whole thing. His lovely wife, who I know very well, is not overly involved with that. She's probably overly involved in some other stuff. I think on top of this, there's so many other like little gifts and stuff that you do. I had seen somewhere else I mentioned to you, just because we're a gambling company, if you could get lines on certain things, like how many times Khan's cries, the over-under is 2.5. How many koozies Khan's will have, the over-under is 12.5. How many different brushes? Well, Alex, a brush person, right?
Like, oh, she's huge got a brush person.
Yeah, she always has like a different brush on her.
Yeah.
You know, over-under is 4.5. Like, it's. I think that would be kind of...
How do we do that, though?
Because
I think it's an awesome idea. Didn't you say you did something like that?
Yeah, so we did a prop sheet at our wedding, about 20 props, and the only one I remember to this day is how many pigs in a blanket the wife and I would eat. And we kept track of that ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have 20 things. Maybe it's just everyone is in charge of grading one thing that you can, you know, your best man does one thing, and then, you know, the maid of honor. And it is like a fun little contest. Everyone fills it out at the end of the night. You say, all right, and we're going to put money in, and then they're just going to give it to you in the end. Who's going to take money on your
wedding day? Yeah, right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But that would be fun.
That'd be another way to get a little bit more money. You know, just take whatever's left in everybody's pockets, kind of turn them up and upside down and kind of shake out their pockets.
Who's the biggest degenerate going to your wedding? Because that's the person who will handle all this.
Good question.
You don't have to name names, Khan's. I mean, we're listening to millions, if not billions. So I don't want to.
I mean, it's definitely one of my friends, because all of her friends are pretty buttoned up. They're, you know, they get after it to their degree, but my friends are just kind of idiots at some point.
The West Point's finest is what you're telling
exactly.
me.
Yeah, exactly. West Point's finest.
I told this story a million times, but when we were putting together our wedding, how many people are you having? You know yet?
I think. Save the dates of going out to like 185, maybe.
It's a good number.
So then you're expecting 185 between 150 and 160 or something like that?
The thing about ours is, I'm not going to say where, but it's not in the Northeast. Yep, so we're going somewhere. But what I've heard from friends in the wedding industry is that because of everything that's been going on recently, people aren't bowing out of weddings like they typically do. So they just want a reason to go somewhere.
People want to get drunk.
Yeah.
They want to eat.
They want to travel.
Right, and they want to travel. So we can't necessarily absolutely expect that 20% drop-off. There'll definitely be drop-off, but not
as
much.
And it's not Detroit.
Right, exactly. It's not Detroit. Spoiler.
Yeah. So, and we have nothing against Detroit. Much love. So my whole thing is, with our wedding, we had like 325. We invited 325. 320 said yes.
What a bougie asshole.
It was shocking to me. I was like, everyone's coming. Everyone was just not busy that day. It was unbelievable. And as we're inviting people, I had a guy who I used to do some coke with, and all. And I said, we got to invite this dude. And he's like, no, we're inviting this guy instead. I was like, why would you get to? And so she wound up winning, and we wound up inviting this guy who I knew. He was one of our dad's customers. We went down the middle, and we decided to invite them both. At that point, you know, right?
Mm.
So the guy that I invited, he gave us $50.
Wow.
And Mr. Baker gave us 10 grand.
Wow.
10 grand. It was the biggest gift we'd gotten there. Imagine if I would have had a derelict guy that I used to play golf in Staten Island with twice a month give me $50 and miss out on fucking Jack's 10 grand.
Wow.
Ugh. So wow. Anyway, so that's what I'm saying. Choose wisely, my friend.
That's
right?
A good point, because we had some discussions over the guest list, and I said, you know, what about this person? Because also in the back of my mind, I made mention of a person last night who I am friends with, who I haven't seen because he's moved away, mm-hmm. but who I absolutely adore. He's a great, great guy.
Right.
And I mentioned him last night, and she's like, well, you don't really talk to him. But in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, but he's really successful. He might write a really big check. Because
yeah.
he's also a very generous guy. Now, granted, I'm not just trying to invite people so I can get money out of them. But thought crosses your mind. It's, I feel 100%. Like it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, 100%. Doesn't hurt. And I'll tell you what, after my experience, please have it cross your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just helps.
Yeah.
But
I will say this, because we had the – so, Cons, you're a little older than – I imagine we both were than when we got married. When did you get married, Lars? Do you remember how old you were?
I was 27.
And wow. I was 28, so yeah.
I was doing things 28? At 27 and 28 that you cannot do if you're married. So.
Right.
It's probably best that I'm 36 now and getting married. 37 by the time it happens.
I might have been 28 or 29. I can't even remember.
So it's right around there. Right. And at least for me, it was a lot of, you know, college friends that, you know, we were friends with. And then, you know, some work buddies that now, you know, I'm not, you know, I haven't spoken to in years that, you know, from two companies ago. And it is one of those things that you get to kind of cut down a list. I was 280 invites and I got 269. So again, that just speaks to our belovedness that no one wanted to say no to see our wedding. They wanted to get to our wedding.
Yeah. Good point, right? That's a good point.
Yeah, mine was local, like yours was local. Yep. So, and you know, at that time, everyone else was getting married. So it was, plus I worked on the floor. Like,
yeah.
You know, we could have invited 600 easily.
Right.
You know,
right.
If we had a big enough place. We ran out of Budweiser. Bud Heavies were big back in the day when I got married. Like, Bud Heavy now is like a dirty word. But in 99, they were huge. And it's like some guy had to go down to a local bar and get like a couple of cases of Bud Heavies mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Yeah.
I want to get this fucking thing.
When you think about inviting people,
starving.
More heads cost more money, right?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm very fortunate, you know, that, you know, we'll be taken care of in terms of paying for the wedding. But her father is almost like George Banks, and we say this to him to his face. He's like George Banks. At one point, we were at his house recently, and we were just kind of loosely going through the budget for the wedding. And Alex mentions photographer. He goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Let me stop you right there. What do you need a photographer for?" And Alex looks at him, kind of puzzled, like, "Is this a joke? Like, well, we need a photographer to take pictures." And he takes his phone out of his pocket and goes, "Look, everyone has a camera. Just have your friends take the pictures." But he wasn't joking.
Yeah.
He was 100% serious that, hey, I don't need to pay for a photographer.
He's not. He's almost not wrong. And I know that you guys are doing the traditional, but if anyone's going one step below traditional, then I think a photographer is superfluous.
Yeah.
With the amount of people now who are, you know, they have fisheye lens attachments to all their, you know, newest iPhones and stuff. So, I don't know, and some... The day of them putting you and Alex in a brandy snifter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you hanging it up like embossing some cheesy frame. Mm-hmm. Those seem to be over. So he's almost not wrong. So I wouldn't even put that much of a premium on that if you're, you know, if you could spend a little more money on the band. Band or DJ?
Band. 12 piece.
Ooh,
band.
Nice.
That's, we got a full horn section.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's strong.
Maybe skimp on the photographer, go up to 14 pieces. That's all I'm saying.
I will say, out of everything we did in our wedding, the one thing that we regretted the most in terms of my wife is probably the choice of man, but for me, the amount we spent on the photographer, she loves that's one of her like little hobbies is photography, and even she's like, we spent way too much on that.
Because the other thing, like, everyone says to me, "Oh, you're gonna get like a videographer?" I'm like, no.
Oh, good.
Because everyone who I know got the video, they watched it once, never watched it again, and that's, you know, I don't know, 5-10 grand. That's just, you know, I guess if you just have money to piss away,
yeah,
go for it. But we just didn't seem feel like that was necessary.
We pissed away. The videographer was there too. We've watched the wedding video 10 times, but it's only because it's on our anniversary every year. So
okay,
it's the only time we watch it. But we watch it once a year. And I would imagine we could probably get better videos if, you know, the iPhones are what they were now. Just having everyone, hey, send them to us when you're done, and probably get some much more fun. I mean, look at Frank the Tank. The guy just walks the city on his way to and from Jersey every day. He has a fucking beautiful video of the city.
Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it'll look nice when we, you know, take the formal pictures with the wedding party, da 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 da. But I want what you're talking about. I want the random pictures during
candid.
The ceremony, candid people taking pictures of other friends of ours that are funny that we're going to look at 10 years from now and laugh at, not the 40th picture of us standing still posed like we're going to prom.
Yeah, and the biggest thing I think with any wedding is the venue. You get the venue, everything falls into place. You don't really for people that aren't married that are listening that, you know, haven't gone through it. Once you get the venue and the date, then you can start getting all the little things that kind of falls into place. And the big part of that is obviously the menu, the food,
yep,
and the drinks. Open bar, right? I mean,
yes,
you would have been thrown out of this fucking window.
Please don't do that.
Yes, very much open bar, and we actually just opted to have additional bartenders. Because there's nothing worse than being at a wedding and waiting more than 30 seconds for a drink, a minute. You know, for as long as a bartender takes to make a drink for another person, that's how long I should have to wait for my drink.
Agreed. Agreed. So
I went to my buddy had knocked a girl up right out of college.
Mm.
So me and two of my other buddies, we jumped out of a 1972 Buick Electra. We jumped in this thing. We drove to Rochester, New York.
Sure.
Scenic Rochester, New York. And I mean, it wasn't a good time to be in Rochester. I don't know. There was just a bleakness about it. So maybe late fall, early winter. And we got their cash bar. And then they did a complimentary shot for everybody, for anyone who wanted it. Like, they took numbers and they gave it to you in a small chocolate shot glass filled with Seagram's. Which is a blended whiskey.
Yeah.
And that was it. And the music was an Elvis impersonator, a black guy, and he was awesome. And all they had there was Jenny Cream Ales. So it was cash bar Jenny Screamers with chocolate. You did the shot of whiskey and you threw the chocolate shot glass in and ate it. It was fucking bizarre.
Buffet? That seems like a buffet.
I couldn't even tell you. I didn't touch anything. And then, you know, driving up in the Electra and stuff into Rochester is just a fucking nightmare.
All right, and before we get into the entree portion of our menu crafting, I think menu crafting is like a fancy way to say three idiots in a room talking about a wedding menu. We're going to talk about something you want to wear to maybe the rehearsal dinner the night before or the hotel the morning after the party, the wedding, the reception, whatever it may be, where you're just, you know, you're hurting, you just want something comfy, but you don't want to look like an absolute slob because you probably embarrassed yourself at the dance floor last night. You got to get yourself some bare bottom clothing, right, big man? You love the bare bottoms.
Yeah, and I can tell you what, like going to Kanz's wedding, there'll be a lot of people wearing stuff that's stylish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Kanz has got this uncanny ability to show up at a party. And by the way, he shows up at every party he's invited to. It's crazy. He never looks for an out. Everybody else in the world looks for an out. What's the best feeling in the world? Canceling. Not for Kanz. He shows up at 8 o'clock, he drinks till 4 o'clock in the morning, and he still looks like he stepped out of a catalog. I'm not saying he's a good looking guy,
nope.
He dresses very well. And even he's a big fan of bare bottom clothing because he doesn't like long inseams. Khan's a 5-inch inseam guy. I'm
true.
A 7-inch inseam guy. So anyway, bare bottoms. This is one of those versatile, summery type things that I told you guys on a couple of occasions. They went to send me some. And I said, don't bother. Send me some in a size large and I'll give it to my oldest boy. So they did that. It's fantastic. And then I was caught in Vegas without a swimsuit. They sent me a swimsuit, not in Vegas, in Dallas. They sent me a swimsuit to my hotel, and it was fantastic. So I can tell you firsthand that my 17-year-old kid not only likes it, his friends have ordered it, and I've had to order more of it since then. And I can also tell you they got it to me within 2 days in Dallas, so I was swimming with Tyson Fury. Not a big deal, but I dropped the name. This was pre-COVID. So bare-bottom clothing, they have the internet's best deal. You can get two unbelievably soft, light, wet tech tees and a pair of stretch shorts for under $100. Back in the day, that was regular. But now, people are paying like $60, $70 for a t-shirt.
It's different world. Crazy. Different world,
we've
man.
We've been pushing some of them on here. Other brands that are very comfortable, very, very expensive. This is very comfortable and not that expensive, right? So their 5-star rated shorts, swim trunks, tees have gained a cult-like following of thousands who made bare bottom the MVP of their closets. And they also give back. They donate a school lunch to a child in need for each item sold. For those of you who need a little bit of guilt with your purchases, I just took care of that. So to get free shipping on your first order at barebottomclothing.com, use the code PODFATHERS. So the way you spell it is B-E-A-R, like the animal. BareBottomClothing.com, like the animal, B-E-A-R, bottomclothing.com. Use the code PODFATHERS and you get some free shipping. But it's one of those things where I do the 7-inch inseam swim trunks mixed on the stretch tees, the regular ones. Believe me, you're going to be satisfied. Just go to BareBottomClothing.com and use code PODFATHERS for free shipping.
Then to anyone listening, because I want to also do this as like kind of a tips and tricks for people that are looking to get married. The buffet, it might seem like a good idea. You price it out, or it's just like, oh, everyone kind of get at their own pace. It's always a fucking nightmare. There's always a huge line. Mm. The people are who you need to get food in them because they're wasted aren't getting food, and then it becomes a real nightmare on the dance floor or in the bathroom, or you're just having everyone hungry and mad. So just don't do the buffet, right?
Yeah.
Look, I think we've all come to that. And 100. I know Large like to throw it at me as the buffet guy, but I took umbrage with that. I think that's the right word.
Umbrage
right?
is correct. Okay, correct. Okay, I'm proud of you. Yeah, that's not a buffet word. Good for you on that one. I'd like to get to this.
All right.
I've been looking at this thing. So
everyone, before you listen to this part, fill your belly up because I'm going to get hungry just listening to all this. So everyone eat before you get this because you're going to get hungry by the time we're done with this.
Hors d'oeuvres.
So for the hors d'oeuvres, we go down there. We're down there a few months ago to kind of do a walkthrough of the venue. And the young girl who works at our venue, very, very nice, very helpful. And we said, you know, like, what are you thinking for hors d'oeuvres? And she says, like, oh, people usually pick like three or four. And we both looked at her like, what?
Three or four
total different things? Are you serious? And she's like, yeah, that's usually enough. Now, we're also coming through it from the lens of Northeast weddings,
yeah.
Which mm-hmm. I think if you canvass the entire country, Northeast weddings typically, especially I feel like New York, New Jersey,
yep.
are the most ridiculous out of anywhere yep. in the country.
Spreads.
Yes. I mean, you know, when I think of a cocktail reception, I think of different stations. Mm-hmm. I think of past hors d'oeuvres. I think of just a huge, huge spread. So when she said to us three or four, we're like, no. We're going to go with more than three or four. So just keep that in mind. Go nuts. What do we think?
Let's call it what it is, too. The cocktail hour, at least in the Northeast, the tri-state area, at the very least, it's the highlight of the fucking wedding.
I agree.
That's where the money is made and yes. spent, in
yeah.
my opinion.
Because like when you're cooking, you know, a piece of filet or a chicken or a fish for 100-plus people, you have to understand that that's not going to be a great piece of meat that you're going to eat. You're not going to rave about it. I don't care where you're getting married. So you got to really focus on the stuff they can, I don't know, put a little more love into.
Joey Molinaro, I think this week it said, you know, when can we do away with wedding menus? Maybe he did it in a blog or on a thing. And he said, who's going to finally have the courage to have somebody just bring 200 pizzas in? And I don't even agree with that, right? Because I don't think pizza travels as well. Who's going to have to have a coal-fired oven there?
Yeah.
And cranking them out. That makes a little bit more sense to me. But I agree with you 100%. I look forward to it. So as far as these are the ground rules then, for the cocktail hour, will you have stations or will we just be picking the pass-arounds? I'm assuming
both.
The pass-arounds. Okay.
Very
both.
Important.
That's okay.
Good. Correct answer. That's the yes. first correct answer you've had so far.
Okay. So then if you look at the second page, Clem, it has
like this is like we're like in school right now. If you will scroll to the second page,
yeah, mm-hmm. second page, it has on the right hand side reception displays. So those are the type of things that he's going to have out, right? Yep. And right away, there's a big charcuterie board, which I know will happen with cons. It just makes sense. There's a huge charcuterie board, and I think it does do well. The only thing that I would go against is that as it starts to warm up, mm-hmm. right? Prosciutto turns to wet bacon.
Yeah.
And nobody loves prosciutto more than me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just – so not to get too like – you know, stuff that's cut from a muscle like prosciutto or gabagol.
Mm-hmm.
Like these two are cut from a muscle, whereas pros like supersado salami is a forced sausage. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So I think stuff that cuts from a muscle gets a little bit more unpalatable as the night goes on. But I'm looking at this – and right away, I'm like, you can take your vegetables and shove them up your ass.
Yeah, we don't need those.
You can take your seasonal fruits and fresh berries, shove them up your ass.
Yep.
You can take your imported and domestic cheese squares, shove those fucking things up your ass.
Hey,
you can
not
take
the
your
cheese.
Pasta and take it right up your fucking ass, too. There is an Ocean Harvest shrimp bar, a charcuterie of cured meats, and this place has a cocktail lamb chop griddle station. And I've never seen a cocktail lamb chop griddle station. I got the lowest mark ever in the history of the dog walk when I said at a cookout, a barbecue, I like to do baby lamb chops.
Sure.
And they weren't fucking ready for me. That's why they gave me – I have the lowest mark in the history of dog walk. It'll never be topped. I got like 2% fucking on that.
Was that
and
the Barada draft too?
The Barada draft. I got 2% on the – maybe 3% on the Barada draft. It'll never be broken. It'll unless somebody says babysitter and they say Adolf Hitler. So this cocktail lamb chop thing, I don't know if everybody else is on board with me, but – I will molest that station. Hey, Clem, I just went down the reception displays. You seem to have taken a little bit of umbrage. We'll use it again because you're finally
well, I mean, you're talking about muscles and cutting shit of what, you know, the difference between a prosciutto and all this kind of stuff.
You want to bring the C game? Let's go. It's cons.
You tried to raise the bar there because I used the word umbrage once. Yeah. I mean, charcuterie, I mean, you have to do it.
Yes, he's got it.
That's your brand right there.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen it, though? Have you seen it going into this? Because you booked this place. That charcuterie is going to be on your tombstone, and you are going to have to take a picture of it, and people will be grading you on it. Are you ready for this? Have you seen it? Have you tasted it?
Yes. Well, we're doing another tasting here in October.
I would
like
to be there.
I have seen it. All right. I'll let you know when we're going down if you want to make the trip. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that the Harvest Shrimp Bar, that's more like a full raw bar, and I'm showing Clem a picture, and I'm showing large. We're doing a full raw bar, and oysters. Easily. Clams, shrimp, that's a given. Alex is pretty keen on the pasta station. Here's my only qualm with pasta station, all right? When I think cocktail hour, I always think about things that I can eat with one hand because I have a drink in the other hand.
Yes. Yeah.
Pasta, obviously, it's a bowl, it's a fork, it's a spoon, it's something of that nature. But everything else you said, fresh fruit and fresh berries, get out of here. The cheese is going to melt in the sun and then it's just gross. I like the cocktail lamb chop griddle station. I've never seen it at a wedding, and I think that'd be nice.
I you know what? The pasta station, so now you're thinking two hands. So it's going to be cavatappi, so it's those curls that have the their straws that are curved. So it's like fusilli with a hole in the middle, penne or angel hair. Like, these are all things that I think are going to traditionally be, like, softer than al dente. Like, it's just, it's impossible to have a very good bowl of pasta. So why, like, there's nothing special about me having a penne with a little bit of sausage that's been sitting there and in a San Marzano tomato. There's nothing, so I would not want to use that real estate. Not that it's limited. I have a lot of real estate in my stomach. I'm going to beat this thing up, right? I'm going to beat this thing up, and I'm going to say, just get more horseradish out of here because you didn't put out enough cons, I'm telling that. And then I'm going to beat this up too. So on the charcuterie board, prosciutto, gabagol, soupressade, provolone cheese, bufala mozzarella, marinated asparagus with parma ham, oven roasted tomatoes, garlic, clove, vassia aged balsamic bruschette, roasted artichokes with extra. I think you're done. I think the shrimp bar, you're done. I think the cocktail, you're done. And I think if the pasta, she says, I need that, get rid of one of the others, then you're in trouble.
Well, then we'll cross that bridge. And
you're in trouble. But see, that's what do you do there?
It'll help if you come with us to the tasting.
Yeah. And I will tell you what else. If you look down, and it's ridiculous that they put this per shrimp.
Yeah, that's...
But if you're expecting to pay more for that. But if you look down at all these prices, Clem...
Right.
Yep.
The pasta station is as expensive as the lamb chops.
Good point.
Now you're eating lamb chops and pasta for the same price? Get the fuck out of here.
All right, Cons, I'm going to throw you a life preserver here. I'm going to help you out because you don't want to go back to the wifey and say Large just completely, you know, fucking destroyed the pasta station.
Yeah.
You need the pasta station. You need it for eaters. You need it for any kids that are going to be there. You need it for people that just need to soak up the booze. And listen, the pasta station, you're acting like they're just fucking buttering it up and throwing it to you. We got to choose between shrimp, chicken, sausage, broccoli. We got pesto sauce. We got marinara. We got San Marzano. I know you like the San Marzano, don't you, big man? You love them. You love them. So just give the pasta station a try. It's a two-hander, which is a problem. But
we will have
starch.
We will have a starch, but also we'll have the high-top tables. So people will have room to work. They'll be able to put a plate down.
He's coming around to what you're saying.
Let them make that choice about the two hands because the two hands is a real problem. I also personally...
What if she says lose one to have the pasta station? You can only do three of the reception displays. What is he losing? The charcuterie, the shrimp bar, or the lamb chop station? And the answer is the lamb chop station. So I will fight this tooth and nail because I really need to have I'm going to this wedding.
So let's see. What will the population like more? Like the most popular food in the world in pasta or the one that got you 3% of the vote?
Who's dying to get dressed up to go have some pasta? Who puts on a seersucker suit where he looks fantastic, right? Because he just recently lost some weight. By the time this comes around, I'm going to start today.
What is it, 250 by 50?
250 by 50. So, and I'm going to go there to have some overcooked pasta. Come on, Clem. right? And then what are you going to just give me a martini. Do me a favor. Give me the pop-off. Fuck you.
I believe in this place. It's going to come up to how good they do the pasta.
I think
you're
right.
We're
I think it's
see.
Approachable.
We're
it's approachable to do the pasta.
There are picky eaters in this world. We're not all five-star chefs with five-star palates, right? All right? Mm-hmm. Big man, all right. That's all I'm
going to
say.
So you have a decision to make there. Let's go hot selections. Stuffed mushrooms, no. I don't think stuffed mushrooms hold up well.
But what about with the jumbo crab?
I am shocked you just said no to stuffed mushrooms.
I don't think stuffed mushrooms as a pass around is that does not turn me on.
Okay.
It does not turn me on. Like if I'm looking, even with the jumbo crab meat, like if I know that I have a raw bar, I would much rather do a raw bar, and I'm sure you're going to have some sort of seafood as one of your things. I would rather not look for that. I would not look for raspberry and brie. Mm. I would, even though it's lovely and whatnot. First of all, we have to take the all beef cocktail hot dog.
Number one, that's a given. That's a given.
100%. That's a Clem thing, and otherwise we're being disrespectful to it.
Yeah.
But they got something. Where the fuck are these things? There is.
Listen, I'm telling you, Khan's going to choose the stuffed mushroom with the jumbo crab meat because Khan's wants to tell people he has the stuff.
Would he rather do that or a scallop BLT? Smoked applewood, bacon, tomato jam, lettuce, avocado, poblano, mayo.
Wow.
A little scallop BLT as opposed to a stuffed mushroom?
A scallop BLT. That's amazing.
I think that's a winner.
That's amazing.
And to anyone who hasn't gotten married yet and never gone through this, the tasting for your wedding is that's the best day of your life. Yeah. They can talk about the actual wedding day itself, the day where you guys just to get to pick out and eat this five-star food together is it tops anything you're going to do.
You got to do something on a stick. So Thai chicken satay or the Mediterranean chicken skewers are the only things that I see on sticks right now.
Ooh, which I like one the peanut sauce. I like the peanut sauce. I like the Thai chicken satay.
And the Mediterranean one is filled with olives and figs.
No,
that's
olives.
Okay, then that's an easy one. Chicken satay all day long.
That pairs very well with the pigs in a blanket.
Yep.
Like those two together, you know, people are looking for them.
I would have went Mediterranean, just so you know, but I'm the one who's making concessions here for your wedding.
Thank you.
So
thank
scallop
you.
BLT. Cocktail hot dog, and then
the
Thai chicken satay. So those three we have in pencil right now.
What are we thinking about, the steak bruschette or the oven-baked petite filet mignon Wellington?
I think you know. I think I would love to have the caramelized exotic mushroom duxelle, right?
Yeah.
So duxelle is when they chop that up and they put that underneath the pastry.
Yeah.
I would love to see an oven-baked petite filet mignon Wellington more so than I'd like to see a stuffed mushroom.
Yeah,
I think I would agree. The bruschetta is great. Like, you know, it's almost like you go into one of those steak things, the beefsteak parties.
Sure,
you know they cut that, but that just seems fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, they have spring rolls and vegetable egg rolls. I love a little spring roll or something like that. Yeah,
again, it's something you can eat very easily with one hand, and you don't have to. That's the other thing you got to bear in mind. I don't want anything. That there's a possibility of me getting something on my suit or my shirt, right?
Put that on the list. Does Khan's get something on his suit by the end of the night? That's a prop.
How many do you think we could do from the hot selections? You think we can do three or can we do four?
We can do four.
So, like I saw there was another skewer. It was a blackened chicken skewer with roasted red pepper and feta cream.
Ooh.
So you're still good with the satay or does that turn you on a little more?
No, I love feta.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
wow. I might go the blackened chicken.
Yeah. So we'll go blackened chicken skewer.
Yeah.
We'll go oven petit filet mignon Wellington.
Yep.
We'll do the pigs in a blanket.
Yep.
And then we'll do the scallop BLT.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like just because they're a fan favorite, why not the coconut shrimp?
I was going to say, we're just ignoring the coconut shrimp on the menu right now. That's a big one. That's a crab pleaser.
I have them anywhere.
Yeah.
I have also
a good point.
You know where they sell them? Applebee's.
Yeah, that's
I heard.
That's a good.
They do. They sell them in bars.
You know what?
I saw it on the office.
It's a good point. It's a good point. When you're eating good in the neighborhood, you don't necessarily need to worry that you're going to get it at my wedding.
People are now. We've missed out on a lobster tortilla, which sounds great. We missed out on a bacon wrapped stuffed date, which is great, but
good.
But see, good. The lobster tortilla, I feel like black bean and salsa, that's like getting messy.
Yeah.
Now, this one.
I'm getting messy for a mini filet for the Wellington.
Now, so we crossed the stuffed mushroom off. Now, what about the Thai petite Florida style crab cakes? Crab cakes.
That's tough.
Winner. That's a winner. There's a few things here where I feel like they might be able to sneak their way on at the tasting. They might be able to sneak their way on the menu, you guys.
Right. I love crab cakes, too.
Got to have your head on a swivel with that. But
tomato horseradish, too.
Yeah. Ooh. So let's say,
we're up to like six, I think.
All right, Penn.
Petite crab cakes, right? So the crab cakes come with roasted corn and tomato horseradish.
Yeah.
Thai petite Florida style crab cakes, roasted corn and tomato horseradish. We're going to go that head to head with the smoked applewood bacon, tomato jam, lettuce, avocado, poblano mayo, wow, BLT. So that's the scallop BLT versus the petite crab cakes. And I'm telling you, I could go either way.
I could go either way, but I think I'm going to go with the BLT just because
it's different.
Exactly. It's scallop BLT is different. Crab cakes, don't get me wrong, they're a Hall of Fame for a reason, but I like the idea of doing some new things.
I know that's not going to be the best crab cake you've ever had.
No.
Yes. And people, I know there's at a that place wedding
in Maryland that will knock your eye out or yeah, something like that. Yeah. And people at the wedding will say that, yes.
And yeah, they're going to say, I had a better crab cake last wedding. Yeah. And now you're in a fucking head-to-head where there's no one had a scallop BLT at the last wedding. They've never had a scallop BLT.
No, because at most I've ever seen is a bacon-wrapped scallop. And then it just ends there with that.
Umaki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that, you know, the tomato jam, the lettuce, and the avocado poblano mayo.
By the way, you guys gave up the stuffed mushrooms thing like a fish's first rolled night in prison. You guys rolled over right over.
It was embarrassing.
I gave up some stuff, but you gave up the mushrooms.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah. So we don't have to sum that up. I think we did enough for the hot horse.
Yes.
Hot horse. That's what we want. Are you going to be horse there?
Again, yeah, the most important part of this wedding, not the reception, the wedding, is this menu right now, the cocktail hour. Mm-hmm. So we are very important.
We got to do a couple of colds.
Yeah.
Antipasti skewer, gone.
No. Yeah.
It's vegetarian. Gone, right? Pomegranate duck gaufret, waffle chips. Ooh, so it's like, wow. Ooh, yeah. So
her
it's
dad loves duck too.
Right. So I'm assuming it's going to be some sort of either sliced off the breast or maybe even like a pulled type thing. And it's going to be with chive, creme fraiche, and a cherry marmalade on a waffle potato chip.
I love that.
Man, that sounds. And I'll tell you what, the spicy Virgin Mary shrimp shooters, I'm going to say no because you're going to have the shrimp bar.
Exactly.
That. So the duck, you're not getting anywhere else. Antipasti skewer, get out of here. Pepper crusted tenderloin,
get out of here. Something like that.
Grilled asparagus wrapped in prosciutto, get out of here. Ceviche with the spoons, that's where you take the own spoon. I don't mind
much.
That. I don't mind having a spoon. But okay, put that on the back burner. Oh, no, you said it. Get out of here. Avocado lobster salad on a plantain crisp with micro cilantro.
I kind of like that.
That's a bet.
I kind of like
big lobster guy. Cons, you're a big lobster guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Seared ahi tuna, spiked seaweed, a little bit of ponzu, wasabi, and mango pearls. Ponzu for konzu. I don't know.
I put that in the maybe pile.
Yeah. Smoked salmon canopy.
Nah.
Cumin and chili spiced shrimp tostada.
No.
Tough.
Nope.
Watermelon rounds, micro mint, blood orange, goat cheese, toasted pistachio. It sounds great.
Sounds
great. And
it's
20 port.
Yeah.
That sounds great, actually. I might ask for you to put that on the menu.
Just
I want to give for your, right? Like it's the Oscar season. For your consideration, a watermelon round with a little bit of blood orange, goat cheese, toasted pistachios, soaked in some sort of 20 port. I don't know. That sounds very fucking good.
My only qualm with that is.
Please.
Everybody and their brother. Now, granted, they don't prepare it this way.
Yeah.
But you have watermelon all the time.
I know, but this
by
is,
yourself.
But I could see me going away and being like, you know what? I'm never having watermelon again without any ghost cheese and toasted pistachios.
What season is this wedding taking place in?
Spring.
Yeah, very early spring.
Watermelon seems like a summer thing, though, doesn't it? I think that's a little early.
It does.
It's like wearing white.
Clem, you are the voice of reason.
Yes.
The watermelon rounds.
Thank you.
You just broke my heart, Fredo, but they're gone.
I'm telling you, I was out on watermelon rounds when I saw it, and then I saw all those little pieces in this. The ingredients were perfect. Oh, the toast. Pistachio is such an underrated ingredient. All this. It just makes everything a little better.
20 port. And so we'll have a 20 port and a cigar at your wedding.
Yeah.
So we're going to go down that again. No shrimp.
No.
The duck is in.
Duck's in.
Big Papa's going to be happy, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that might have been it, right?
No, because you said maybe to the
lobster salad. And maybe avocado lobster salad. I would do the avocado.
Plantain crisp.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's
I love plantain crisps because I don't have them often.
And you know what? You know what's making this menu all possible and is going to make everybody happy? Because, you know, there's going to be vegetarians there. I know the way Cons is. That pasta bar is going to make everything. It's going to, oh, but it's all right. Just have some of the pasta bar, Nana. It's all right. I know you gave a vegetarian, you know.
Yeah.
All kinds of meals.
There's the loneliest person at that wedding will be that cousin of yours with the weird eye and the club foot. The second loneliness is the person working the fucking pasta station when there's scallop BLTs with an eye shot.
All right, we'll see.
Oh, you know what? I could deal with little Penny with fucking Rao's jarred sauce instead of a pomegranate duck gaufret. Mm. Oh, Come on, Clem. You're okay, but I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna go back.
Do I have to pull up the dog walk graphic one more time to show you what the what the lamb does?
So we got the luxury of going right past page
we're skipping
three,
right past the buffets. Right page, and listen, four. You know, I don't want to sound like a snob. I just think it's not about the money. It's about the flow of the evening and what you said. The idea of a buffet and a line forming and people standing in line instead of having a drink, instead of dancing, instead of visiting with people, just is – I'm soured on all of that. And that's why I want to do a plated dinner option.
And I will say this. I've been to multiple events, not just weddings, but events at nice, you know, halls that have – buffets, I've never once had a smooth, like a perfect 10 out of 10. That was great.
Yeah.
But but when they serve it to you, it's really never a problem. So,
yeah, exactly.
Buffets are out on the pod, brother. Unless someone tells me about an experience they had that was fantastic with a buffet,
no.
Out.
No.
So now you're going to plate a dinner option like a gentleman. Your first course is a salad. These people do not have any kind of choice. They have to have the salad that you choose. Mm-hmm. So you need something that's going to be approachable and edible for everybody. One thing I would stay away from right away is onions. Onions that are out stink. Yeah. And it doesn't – see, this place is good. There's not a single onion on the salad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go from the top. They have the iceberg wedge, which has grape, tomato, cucumber, boiled egg, smoked bacon, crumbled gorgonzola, and a house-made balsamic hazelnut. That's great. Imakali heirloom. Okay, so it's a tomato salad with baby spinach and arugula, fresh mozz, chopped prosciutto, bacon, olive medley, toasted pine nuts, limoncello, citrus vinaigrette. I don't find that to be overly approachable, and you don't like the olive medley.
No. Nope.
So I'm going to take that one out. Pinnacle salad is artisan baby greens, jewel tomatoes, sun-dried Bing cherries. It's going to be a little weird for people. Mm. Cinnamon toasted walnuts, also a little weird. Imported French brie and a raspberry vinaigrette. Sounds delicious. I'm not sure if people will go for that.
Prove it to me, Pinnacle. That's what I said. That's a tasting. Prove it to me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. If that knocks your socks off, I mean, believe me, I would eat any of these salads.
Sure,
and the best one's just a simple Caesar. Croutons, boiled eggs, Parmigiano Reggiano, grape tomatoes, and a house Caesar. So I don't know. This it's you know, it's busy up top with that iceberg wedge.
Yeah.
This is by far the most approachable. I mean, if I'm
It's either the iceberg or the Caesar. Because also I'm not trying to knock anybody's socks off with a salad, first course salad, because you know, some people won't even touch that. So
we're not trying to score an 80-yard touchdown. We're an army family, right? We like to run the ball.
Let's go small gains here. You know, three-yard gain on first down.
Go wedge, just because wedge. It looks better.
Yes,
it sounds good too. We started with a wedge. It's a good way to start.
Yeah, it's bacon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we're going to go starches for people who didn't get enough starch at the pasta station. You got sweet potato, red quinoa, toasted couscous pilaf, Parmesan roasted rainbow fingerling potatoes, lentil, and red Himalayan rice blend, and aged white cheddar mashed potato. It makes me hard.
That just that piqued my interest. Because when do you have white cheddar mashed potatoes? Mashed potatoes you have all the time. Yeah. When was the last time you had white cheddar mashed potatoes?
Yeah. Standard harvest blend rice pilaf, no oven roasted Parmesan truffle red bliss. So truffle oil is tough, right? Because a lot of people keep truffle oil out, gets rant, and it goes the other way on other people. Be careful with truffle when you're cooking for a big thing like that. I don't know how your wife feels about it, but I mean, everything looks good. A Parmesan herb roasted rainbow fingerling potato is the safest thing in the world to put out there.
Yeah.
Aged white cheddar mashed potatoes is a home run for me.
I think so too.
I'm the fat bastard who takes a butter pat from the bread thing and I put it right in there.
Yep. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I love fingerling potatoes, but the idea of white cheddar mashed potatoes.
Yeah, it's easy.
I mean,
I saw the thing. It said choose one starch. I go, all right, this is going to be tough. No, it's not tough. It's actually the easiest decision we've made so far.
Yeah.
It really is. That aged white cheddar mashed.
Yeah. Perfect. And the only thing that will stop you is all that pasta.
Yeah.
Vegetables. Bacon wrapped asparagus or asparagus, an organic pepper bundle. Okay. Sauteed broccolini and honey glazed carrots. Okay. Waxseeded baby French green beans, hazelnut butter. Sauteed baby organic Brussels sprouts with bacon and apple. I like the last one. I like honey butter glazed baby organic rainbow carrots.
Ooh.
I like just the glazed rainbow carrots. Sounds good to me. I mean, again, this is the bacon wrapped asparagus.
We're already having bacon a lot already. Yeah. I feel like bacon's already made.
Honey butter. Like, if you put honey butter,
I love honey butter
on just a rainbow carrot and glaze it off.
Yeah. And the color's going to pop really well.
Next to that stark white cheddar white potato,
mm-hmm.
a rainbow carrots, Clem, mm-hmm.
I also like to look out for the vegetarians in the group, and that's you know, it's not vegan, but it's vegetarian. And I've never seen rainbow carrots, but they sound delightful. Sounds like a real treat to look at.
Yeah, they look like regular carrots, but a lot more like a rainbow.
The only way I would consider the Brussels sprouts with bacon and apple was if there was a cheese in with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brussels sprouts messes with your urine and semen, and you got some work to do that night.
Yep.
All right, so you're going to stay with the carrots. So we got carrots and potatoes. And
that's an American
wedge. So I'm sitting down. I'm wedge salad, mashed potatoes, and glazed carrots.
Yeah,
I have zero problems. Yep, zero problems with that.
Now we got to take it home.
Yeah.
Now we got to pick the entree.
Right. So we got three things. So how many people are you going to give people a choice of two?
I think so. And then we've actually also talked about doing a vegetarian option for folks who go that way. But for then, who? Well, I don't know. But
the
I
people
feel like,
at the pasta station. Yeah, you know the answer to this. Station.
Wow, that settles it.
So we might have to do veggies. We might do
that's the whole reason I told you, big man.
I'm sorry.
He climbs all over it. No, we might do a very by select few veggie options. So let's just pick two of these here, though.
Right. I would say the double cut Colorado lamb chops are out.
Yeah.
I just don't think they do well in like a big, and I love it. And then you're going to have to make your choice since you're going to be around a place that has great fresh fish.
Right.
If we were in Des Moines.
Yeah.
And they were saying, hey, how about the Florida Gulf Red Snapper?
Yeah.
I would probably go against it. But, you know, these are all, look at this, oven baked crab, stuffed large Gulf shrimp. That one's wrapped in bacon, isn't it? Mm. Hogfish snapper. I'm not a big fan of prime rib.
You got to choose a steak. So it's either prime rib, tenderloin of beef. That's all you got in terms of the...
I think Large is right, though, because of... All right, yeah, spoiler. It's down in Florida. So there's going to be a fish. There's got to be a fish.
Got to be a fish.
Because it's going to be delicious. But then I like clam also, going with beef, because also I think chicken... As much as you can do with chicken, it's still just chicken, which, don't get me wrong, I love chicken, but I think for this, we got to go with a beef and one of these fish.
I'm going to a wedding. I expect to have some sort of beef. And this is just a juju play, too. You don't have a wedding, invite, you know, hundreds of your closest friends and family, and then don't throw steak on that menu. We want this marriage to get off to a good start, and we're going to have the juju gods looking out for us by feeding them some sort of steak if they want it.
Yeah.
So I think, so it is a choice now, prime rib or tenderloin. I could go either way on that. Large, you're not a prime rib guy, though, you said, right?
I'm not a prime rib guy. I mean, plus, if you look what's next to the prime rib, there's nothing that turns me on. The center cut tenderloin of beef has an almond eggplant crouton, a maitre d' hotel butter, Cabernet Sauvignon glace de viande.
I do like the portobello mushroom with the prime rib, though.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Oh, the portobello mushroom jus.
Yeah.
So it's just a mushroom jus. Yeah. So I would go tenderloin of beef, and then I would go either the hogfish, right? Like you want something that people don't see. Like Chilean sea bass, you don't want there. But like this Florida Gulf Red Snapper or the Florida Keys Hogfish Snapper. Like,
oh, but I like this.
Tequila almond butter. They're throwing tequila almond butter.
Here's what I like about the Gulf Red Snapper. It's macadamia nut crusted. I love a good crusted fish.
And it has a lobster sweet potato hash next to it.
Yep.
With coconut rum butter.
Wow. All right. I think that's it. I mean,
I hate to go to the last column right away, but it looks like you're here.
Yeah.
If anyone has any kind of vegetarian things, we have hot dog buns in the back.
there's no leftovers at the pasta station. You animals just devoured every ounce of pasta we had. Yeah. It was such a big hit.
No, there's going to be plenty stuck to those unused pans.
All right, guys. And before we get into crafting the dessert menu for the Captain Khan's wedding, the glorious event, the union of two souls, we are going to talk about Noom, because some people are trying to shed some pounds before their wedding, before the tail end of wedding season, just to live a happier, healthier life. And you got to check out Noom. Clem approved. There was Keto Clem. Keto Clem was then eaten by Quarantine Clem. And now Quarantine Clem became an absolute animal. And I had to shed some pounds just to kind of get down to even close to those Keto Clem levels. But it was, the keto life was not for me in the long run. It's just, you rob yourself of too many just like essential foods and takes away your happiness, takes away basically your livelihood. And the people at Noom gave me, showed me a way to diet without having to really just completely rob yourselves of everything you love in life, but also kind of explaining why you should be eating in certain ways. They break it down. They give you like, they have a ton of little articles. You read like 5 minutes a day. You just click a couple times, graphically nice in terms of the little articles they give you. And it kind of tells you the psychology of dieting, the science of dieting. A lot of times I feel like people just go on the internet and we just kind of research a couple diets, or you hear about something from a friend who's lost a couple pounds and you just blindly do what they do. Noom breaks down all the pros and cons of all different kinds of diets. And if you want to try different diets, they explain, you know, the pros and cons of those diets, what they're all about. You know, you hear about the paleo, you hear about the keto, you hear about fasting and all that kind of stuff. It gives you all these different diets and stuff like that, as well as just basic stuff in terms of counting your calories. They have a great calorie counter. They have a thing where you log your water, and they make you put in the work of every single day. Every time you drink a glass of water, you just click the little glass button on your app and it fills it up. It has a nice little graphic indicator where the water goes up, and you just do stuff like that. And it just becomes a routine every single day. So instead of robbing yourself of basically any foods that can make you smile, they're like, listen, if you can portion manage, or you learn, you know, how much calories, you know, serving sizes, what size is the serving size, and this much calories are in that serving size, and you just learn to eat smarter. You're eating healthier in the long run, but you're not feeling it like you are when you're doing all these diets, you know, these crash diets and stuff like that. So I personally love it. More than 80% of the users complete the program, and they have published over 25 peer-reviewed scientific journals about the science that goes into their approach to helping people achieve a healthier lifestyle. So it's some science, it's some psychology, and those are the two things that help you burn it off in the long run. And I'm looking to get down large, is I think looking to drop, trying to get to 250 by 50. I'll probably join them, though. I'm trying to lose at least, I'd love to lose 50 pounds in the next, we're not going to put a timeline on this. Maybe by Captain Khan's wedding, I'll try to lose my 50 pounds. And if you want to do that, you should check out Noom. Start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/podfathers. That's Noom.com/podfathers. Again, sign up for your trial at Noom.com/podfathers. That's Noom.com/podfathers. We talked about dieting. We're going to get ourselves back in shape. Let's also have some fun with the desserts. Back to cons.
And sweet finale. So you this have to choose too. Three.
Yeah.
You have to choose three of these. There's a lot. So does let's it keep it.
Choose three?
No, I'm telling you. I don't give a shit. The endless ice cream sundae bar.
Yeah, that's
as
number
much
one
as
for me.
We don't like buffets.
I don't care. You got to do sundae bar. Nice. You got to do a sundae bar.
How about this? Vanilla chocolate and strawberry ice cream. So they're even throwing the strawberry based in Neapolitan. Yeah. Then we have hot fudge, caramel sauce, whipped cream, assorted candy, and nut toppings. Ooh, boy.
I'm not doing, you know, I'm not doing apple pie.
No.
I'm not doing a lemon bar.
No.
Key lime pie. Or cheesecake. I think I go Snickers bar pie, Reese's chocolate peanut butter mousse cake. Give the people what they want.
It's a mouthful.
God bless That's America, right?
Give the people what they want.
Individual mango guava cheesecakes, people might get turned on by. I wouldn't, but a nice creme brulee.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
You got to throw the creme brulee. Again, this is a juju play. Creme brulee makes it seem even fancier than it really is.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So creme brulee, and then what are we cutting?
Oh, but then we're missing mini assorted dessert station with cake pops, truffles, tarts, mini pastries. And petit fours. I thought that was going to be better. I liked it. I like starting out with cake pops, but I didn't like the rest of what I said there.
You thought they were going to be like cannolis and
something like that. Yeah.
Pope's noses. It's not that.
So I think we definitely do the Sunday bar.
Sunday bar done. Creme brulee done.
Yep.
You pick between Snickers bar and Reese's peanut butter mousse cake.
Wow. That's
Sophie's choice.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's choosing mom or dad.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, I think
both have peanuts, so it's not like you're not gonna.
I think I'm going Reese's. What would you guys go between those two?
I'm a Snickers guy.
When all comes push to shove, Reese's is my favorite candy. So
exactly,
I have
same
to go with that.
Man. Same.
You know me. I'm not pushy.
So that's it. Oh, what?
That was my last question. Are we doing any sort of like on the way out? There's a hot dog car. Or is that what we're doing? Did I just spoil it? I apologize, Captain. We're on the same page. This is why we're friends.
You gotta have food. Uh-huh. To take people away from the reception and to the after party.
Right.
Because if you want the after party to go late, you got to make sure people are well fed.
R. Kelly said it best.
So there will be an assortment, and this has not yet been decided, but there will be an assortment of fast food items.
Nice.
available as you leave the reception.
Very important.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, what always seems like a good idea is the candy bars on the way out, where they have just, you know, jars of candy. I just wake up with pockets full of candy. I can't help myself. And that's not a good thing for
me. Jordan almonds, like those ones you're never going
to
do.
Yeah. No, one of the weddings I was at, it was actually a really, really nice wedding. You ever been to a wedding at Hamilton Farms in Jersey? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that was a first-class golf course and establishment. They had, like, full-size candy bars. Like, not like the fun size. They had the full-size candy bars.
The good house for Halloween. That's what I think
exactly.
about Halloween.
Exactly. One thing I should also mention that will be at the reception – a guy hand rolling cigars.
Nice.
Obviously.
That's a big move.
Yeah.
Are we talking a Cuban? Because we are in Florida now. Is this yes. a, can we like?
It will be authentic.
We have paperwork.
He real Cubans, Cuban.
He's
Jerry.
Not, he's not Dominican. Here,
I went to an Italian restaurant. There was Italian wedding. So Italian. It was at the Excelsior Grand in Staten Island.
Oh, my gosh.
I should just tell you the names because they're not going to listen. Nicole Bonadonna married Carmine Pallone.
Oh, my goodness.
I remember like it was yesterday.
Oh!
And it was one of the nicest weddings. You know, like the guys came out and danced with the lobsters in between. Like, yeah. You know, they come out and they do that. And I think when everybody was leaving, you got a half a dozen bagels in the Sunday paper. They give you a bag with a half a dozen hot bagels.
Were they
bagels,
warm still?
Oh, hot bagels still hot in the too. Sunday paper. Everyone what got in move. Their car to go home, and it's just like a half a dozen scattered bagels.
I've never heard of that, but that's awesome.
And a Sunday paper.
Wow. Phew. Wow.
How classy is that? That's why I feel comfortable mentioning a name. I believe that's what it was, and I believe that's what they gave. And wow, what a wonderful night.
Even when you're just filling out, making the hotel bags for everyone when they check in, yeah. And like that's always a fun thing. You go to Costco and you just kind of load up some snackies Costco. Here, some Advils, whatever it may be.
What? Well, all right. Water. Let's say you get to the hotel, you get your bag. What do you want to see in your bag?
We're talking when you check in?
Yeah, to the hotel.
I mean, again, Advil, waters, things right. that are going to help you, you know, combat it. A couple little munchy things.
And something for the agita.
Something for the agita.
Throw some Alka-Seltzer or something okay. for the agita.
Do you and the wife have like a, like sometimes it's nice to have a little story behind like, oh, this is our favorite snack or something like that.
He's going to throw in a koozie.
Yeah. He's going to throw in a koozie.
That yeah, might be where you get
maybe a brush as well. We're getting a brush. Brush
ooh,
and a koozie.
Wow, you might get a brush and a koozie.
Yeah.
That would actually be a nice touch. A brush and a koozie.
Right?
We're making memories right now on the Podfathers. That's what this is all about, this podcast.
That's a really good idea.
There you go.
Wow.
All right, so we have everything.
Yeah.
So I didn't write everything down.
Nobody
so
did.
So your lovely wife will have to listen to
she's
this.
She's just going to have to listen, take notes.
And if anybody has any prop ideas for Khan's wedding, you send them along this way. And let it be whatever it wants. It's Khan's. We can just beat him up a little bit. Send them along or send along any menu ideas you have. Hit us up, Pop Out of the Show. Fuck that asshole, Joey Langone. Or hit us up on Twitter, and we are going. All you have to do, just add a little marital bliss, and this thing is going to be a hit, Captain.
I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate you guys' help, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us, baby. We'll have you on down the road for when it really gets fun.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's hopefully. Coming, too.
Dun, all righty, boys.
All right.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.